This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. First of all, dearest sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Always a blessing to see your beautiful faces, alhamdulillah. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that to keep us steadfast upon, you know, gathering together for His sake until we leave this life, inshallah. All right, so some of you might have seen the topic for today's lesson, which is, are we losing the concept of the hijab? Are we losing the concept of the hijab? So it's very important to start off by saying that this lesson is not about judging people in their journey. Because, you know, most of us when we first started out wearing hijab, we weren't wearing it perfectly. You know, we would, you know, I'll tell you some story about myself later on, but no way were we wearing it perfectly. So it's not about judging others, but it's more about trying to, it's very important that we understand what is the concept of hijab, because it is being lost. People have changed the intention. People are changing the intention for why they're wearing it. And that's a dangerous thing. Because once you change the intention, that has an impact on the way that hijab will be worn. Okay, so what's happening is, especially when you look at the new hijab fashion industry that's come out, we can see that the concept of hijab is becoming very distorted. So what we find happening is, instead of hijab being an act of ubudiyah, which is submission to Allah Ta'ala, that it's like you are, it's like what's in the heart, you know, what your love for Allah, your fear for Allah that's in your heart comes out in your action through your hijab, because you're surrendering to Allah. You're surrendering to Allah. So it's a demonstration of your surrendering to Allah Ta'ala, right? But what's happened is it's gone away from being like that to becoming more of an expression of identity. All right? So it's more about who I am, my choice, and who I identify myself as. Now, the problem when you do that is that it's no longer about doing it for Allah. Like, the focus is less on doing it for Allah. It's more about myself, the way I want to feel about myself. So when you do that, what does the hijab become reduced to? It basically becomes reduced to like a piece of cloth. It doesn't have the same, you know, it doesn't have the same, you know, the same meaning behind it. You take away the meaning from the hijab. So it becomes literally just like a piece of cloth that, you know, you can wear however you want. It's just about following your hawa. It's about following your own nafs. Whatever you think your expression of hijab is, you just wear it like that. And that's why we find, what happens is that we're finding that the hijab is actually becoming sexualized now. You know, where, subhanAllah, the whole concept of hijab is to, you know, cover the beauty of the woman and, you know, and make her valued for who she is, her person, rather than to be objectified. But what's happening is that we are actually making the hijab into something which is all about how pretty you are. So we're going back, we're going to the antithesis of what the hijab is all about. That's the problem. And so we're no longer, you cannot say that you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because hijab has its conditions, as we're going to speak about. Hijab has its conditions, just like salah. Like, hijab is from the open rites of al-Islam. All right, hijab is from the open rites of al-Islam, like a salah, like sawm, like hajj. I can't just say, yalla, I'm going to go and pray the way I want to pray, because I feel this is the way I express my prayer to Allah, you know? And the same thing, I can't just go fast the way I want to fast, you know, just, okay, well, I'll take a few drinks in the middle of the day because I get thirsty, you know? And the same thing with hajj, you understand? So we can't just go and decide it's all about, you're basically saying, I will do it according to my own conditions, not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants in order for me to fulfill that hijab and get the reward for it. Because what is the ultimate reason you're wearing this hijab? right, is to get the reward from Allah. Now, to get the reward from Allah means you don't do it on your own terms. You do it according to what Allah Ta'ala has shown us, that this is the hijab that He loves for you to wear. All right? So, as I said, it's an expression of your ubudiyah to Allah. It's an expression, an open expression of your servitude to Allah. You're saying, Ya Allah, I surrender myself to you through this hijab. And so it's freeing you from the objectification of women, and it's freeing you from the sexualization of women, which we feel as Muslims, we feel passionate about this. As Muslim women, we feel passionate about this because we find it's a degradation of women. And that's what hijab is also about. That's about we are standing up and saying, no, I refuse to go with the tide. That's what hijab's about. So basically, what's in your heart comes out in your actions, my dear sisters. And just like the Sahabiyat, as soon as they heard the ayat of the hijab, what did they go do? They went home, they rushed home, they tore up their aprons, they covered themselves completely with it. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, may Allah be merciful to the muhajirat women, when Allah Ta'ala sent down the words, وَلِيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ, and, you know, draw your khimar around over your juyubihin, like over your chests, right? They rushed home, they tore up their aprons, and they covered themselves with it. And Salama said they became like black crows due to the blackness of their clothing. So this was the ubudiyah of the Sahabiyat. This was their servitude. That's why, from the blessings of wearing hijab, my dearest sisters, is from the moment that you step out of your house, you are in a state of ibadah to Allah until you return home. This is something people forget. You're in a state of ibadah. And as we know, for every act of worship, we get rewarded from 10 to 700 times. And my dear sisters, always keep in your mind that the more you're trialed to wear your hijab, the greater your hardships and struggles, the greater is the reward. Like Allahu Alam, we could be getting the reward of 700 hasana every day we wear the hijab, because it's very hard to wear the hijab now. We have a lot of struggles. There's Islamophobia, there's all this like hijab fashion industry that makes you feel like, oh, I'm not pretty enough and I look ugly when I wear my hijab. You might get those thoughts in your mind, right? But if you're striving against your nafs and you're doing it to please Allah Azza wa Jal, inshallah, I ask Allah that every single one of us gets the reward of 700 hasana for every single day we wear this hijab, inshallah. So always keep in your mind that the greater the struggle, the greater the reward. Allah Ta'ala, inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra muhsinin. Allah does not cause the reward of those who do good to ever be lost. Nothing is wasted with Allah Ta'ala. All right, let's talk about the context of the hijab. It's very important for us to understand how does the hijab fit into the framework of the Islamic Sharia. So first of all, my dear sisters, we have to understand that what Allah Ta'ala wants and what Islam wants is to have a pure and chaste society, which is free from uncontained lusts and desires. A society that, you know, preserves its chastity and preserves itself from falling into fornication, adultery, and all of this, everything that leads to zina. Like Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Don't approach zina. So it doesn't mean just don't do zina, it means stay far away from it. Okay? And this is the path of the prophets and messengers and all of the righteous believing women who came before us. They had high morals. They had high manners. And that's what Allah wants for the Islamic community. He wants a community of high morals and high manners. And it's for this reason that Allah Ta'ala forbade a man to look at a woman with an adulterous eye. Right? It's forbidden for a man to look at a woman with a lustful eye. Or even to try to touch her hand if he's not married to her. And it's forbidden for a woman and man to be alone when there's no third party, because what did the Prophet ﷺ say? The third is the shaitan. Alright, so there's lots of There's lots of preventative measures that Islam has put in place to try to, you know, generate this chaste and, you know, society that has these morals and manners. And also we find in Islam also that, you know, Islam has regulations on the way that men and women should mix. There's regulations on the way that they mix and interact as well. Because the more that they come and start mixing and interacting, the more chance there is of, you know, immorality to start popping up. And we can see what's happened in society. Like, Auzubillahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, like the shows that are on TV now. The immorality that has increased in society is just beyond our belief. Like, from what it was 50 years ago, there's a complete degradation of morals. Okay, so we can see what the outcome is. So, and similarly, this is also, you know, hijab is all part of this package. Okay, so hijab is all part of this passage, this package, like I said. So Islam, this is one of the measures that Islam has taken to also protect the society and place that barrier, give you that barrier, give you boundaries. Like, this is you saying, this is my boundaries. You know, this is my boundaries. So this is how Allah Ta'ala honored and protected and dignified the Muslim woman. And this is what it's all about. It's all about protecting and dignifying and honoring the Muslim woman. And I'm just going to go through, first of all, what is the meaning of the word hijab? I'm just going to quickly mention that the word hijab, is mentioned in 8 different places in the Quran. But in all of these places, the linguistic meaning of hijab means a screen or barrier. So from this we know that, you know, where a woman wearing a khimar, which is a head covering, right? Which, you know, a complete head covering that covers over, you know, the head and the shoulders, that's a khimar, that's a barrier, okay? Placing a curtain between you and men is a barrier. A niqab is a barrier. So there's different things that can be called hijab, but what it comes down to is a screen or a barrier. Like, for example, Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, وَبَيْنَهُمَا hijab. Between them is a wall which prevents them from seeing each other. So I'm not going to go through all the ayat, but there's many ayat, they all basically show the same thing, that it means like a screen or a barrier. So that's why the hijab is given this name in Islam, because when a woman wears it, it's something that screens her and prevents the non-mahram man from looking and enjoying her. And please, let's not kid ourselves that men don't enjoy looking at women. Please. I mean, if you think that, you are so naive. Okay? So this is how Allah Ta'ala has protected us through the hijab. Now, I'm going to move on and talk about the conditions of hijab. So the scholars, they derive these conditions from the two ayats in the Quran. The first of all, one of them in Al-Ahzab, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 59, and also in Surah An-Nur. So for example, Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ya ayyuhal ladhina, ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ. So, O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the believing women to draw closely their garments around themselves. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَن يُعْرَفْنَ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And then he says, that is better, or that is closer to them being known and identified, so they will not be harmed. Okay, so that they will be known, let's talk about this first of all. So first of all, that they will be known and identified, that she is a free believing woman who is honored and not to be played around with. So that men who have a corrupt heart, they have sicknesses in their hearts, will know that this is a chaste, believing woman, honored and dignified by Al-Islam, and that not to mess with her. You're placing a psychological barrier over yourself to say, Ya akhi, I'm not for you to play around with. I have my morals, I have my standards, I have my boundaries. Okay? So she can go freely out in society for her needs and no one messes around with her. All right? So I don't want to, like, okay, so talking about the ayah, so it says, Yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. I don't want to get into the debate on niqab and hijab today. That's not what we're here for. We want to talk about what the scholars all agree upon. All right? Because the niqab and hijab is something that there's a debate between the scholars, a historical debate. But as for the hijab, just so we know, clear as day, there is ijma' al-ulama on it. There is a consensus of the scholars and a consensus of the Muslim ummah that the hijab is fogged. Because we have people now, false callers, right, who are trying to convince sisters that the hijab is not fogged. Just let it be known that one of the sources for jurisprudence in Islam, besides the Quran and Sunnah, is the ijma'. Once an ijma' has occurred in the ummah, then anybody comes with any statement which is other than that ijma', we take it less than a grain of salt. It's worthless. We wouldn't even pay attention to them. Let them go and say what they want, because what you're saying is less than a grain of salt. All right? So that's the ayah in Al-Ahzab. Like I said, and like, because some scholars say it meant to take, because they used to in Jahiliyyah wear their headscarves, you know, coming over and showing their necks and showing their earrings. So some say they brought it over their heads and they covered it like this. They put it around, they drew it around themselves and they showed only their eye and they drew it like that. And others say no, it means they drew it around and they covered their necks and chests. So like the khimar. Okay, so there's a debate, as I said, about that. But whatever the case, as long as a woman is doing one of those things, alhamdulillah, she has fulfilled the conditions of the hijab, which I'm going to go more into those conditions. Okay, so the other conditions we can get for the hijab is mentioned in Surat An-Nur, where Allah Ta'ala, after he mentions about how, like, he first mentions the men should lower their gaze, the believing men should lower their gaze, even if a woman's not wearing hijab, doesn't give him the right to go staring and looking lustfully at women who don't wear hijab. Okay? They have responsibility. It's not all on the women, because unfortunately now we've got a lot of women thinking, oh, it's not fair, everything's on the woman, nothing's on the men. No. Men will be asked. If they go looking at women lustfully who don't wear hijab, they're going to be asked by Allah Ta'ala about that. Okay? But we will be asked as well what we did from our own actions. Okay, so Allah Ta'ala in this verse, he says, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. They don't reveal their beauty except what is apparent of it. Now again, we have that different opinion about what is meant by that إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. Is it the face and hands? Or does it mean, you know, just like when the wind blows, her garment shows, or maybe when, like, her ring might accidentally come out, or something like that. But the point is, what does the ayah say? وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. They don't show their beauty. So straight away you can see the hijab is not about being lustful, wearing hijab in a way that makes you sexually attractive. All right? And beautifying yourself so that you look attractive to the opposite gender. It's obviously, it's completely against that. Okay? And then it says, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. Like I said, that they draw their garments around mention, which means like the chest area, the neck area. Okay? وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. And they don't reveal their zina except to who? Like their husbands, their fathers, their sons. And it goes on and mentions all the mahrams they can show their beauty to them. Okay, so I want to move on and talk about the conditions now, inshallah. So, as I was saying before, what's happened, unfortunately, with a lot of Muslims now, that because they've got their concept of hijab has changed to be more of an expression of identity, right? To them, it's more like just a piece of material, a piece of cloth. And that's why we find that we've got very strange expressions of what the hijab is supposed to mean. Okay, now, as I said before, look, there's a difference between you're on your journey in hijab and you don't, you know, you're trying to wear the hijab and you're struggling and you, but there's a difference between doing that, but you know what you're trying to head towards. You know what you're trying to head towards. Like, that is excusable because you're trying your best. You're not perfect. As I said before, none of us started out wearing hijab perfect. Okay? So that's different than someone trying to make out that this, what I'm wearing with my tight revealing clothing and this little piece of cloth stuck on my hair, is a hijab. That's very different. And saying, but that's fine because this is my choice and my identity. This is where we're going wrong. Because what is the hijab about? Like we said before, it's about ubudiyah. It's about servitude to Allah. It's not about servitude to your nafs. It's not about servitude to your nafs, that you're just doing whatever you feel the hijab means to you. Okay? So that's what we see. That's what we see, that we find that, you know, we've got, like, it's very strange now. Very strange. And especially I find in the US, it's even worse. Like, alhamdulillah, in Australia, Al Mubarak, may Allah protect our sisters. The sisters are doing a really great job. You know, Al Mubarak, may protect us all. But in US, you can see very strange things coming out, especially like with Nike and stuff like that. You know, and you see a girl, for example, she's got a hijab stuck on her head and she might be wearing a tank top and she's playing netball. Like, but like, okay, like, again, the scary thing is that she may not actually know what the concept of hijab is. That's the scary part. That's what we need to talk about when you have this discussion. Because as I said before, it's different if you're on the journey and you're trying, but when you say that this is hijab and you think that that's hijab and that satisfies the conditions of hijab, we've got a problem. We've got a very big problem. And that's what's happening. This hijab fashion industry is changing the concept of hijab in the Muslimat's minds. And that's a dangerous thing. When the deen starts to become changed, that's when the danger comes, because people no longer understand what is a hijab anymore. Okay? We have to realize, like I said before, that if we want the reward from Allah Ta'ala, because who are we doing this hijab for? What is our ultimate intention from this hijab? To do it for Allah, as an expression of our ubudiyah to Allah. And so hijab has conditions that we strive to fulfill in order to achieve the reward for hijab. Just like when I pray, it has conditions. I need to fulfill those conditions in order for my prayer to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala, right? So let's talk about these conditions. And it's really quite straightforward, and it's really, like anyone thinks about it, it's really logical. So first of all, number one, that the whole body should be completely covered. And the minimum is that the face and hands should only be shown. And there are a minority of scholars that say the feet can be shown, but the more correct, according to you know, the different proofs we have and what the majority of ulama are upon, that the feet should be covered when a woman goes out of, like, her house or in front of non-mahrams. But what isn't debatable, sisters, is whether you can show your ankles. Because, see, this is the thing. Like, even if you're going to take the opinion of showing the feet, like, you might follow Abu Hanifa, for example, that's your madhab. But that doesn't mean now we can just go start showing our ankles, our legs. See, that's the problem. And we've got a lot of women now thinking that I can have a hijab on my head, but I can show my arms. I can show my forearms. Like, show me which scholar from the history of Islam. You understand? So there's things going wrong with our understanding of the hijab. And then number two is that the hijab should not be decorated. Like, it shouldn't be a zina in and of itself. Because we said, what do we say? وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنْ. That they shouldn't reveal their adornment. So that means that if we're going to be covering our adornment, our beauty, so yes, there's nothing wrong with looking good, like nice. You don't look like a total dag walking in the street. But at the same time, you don't want to make yourself look or you know, come across as being that you're trying to get the attention of men. You know, because that goes against what the whole point or the whole purpose of hijab is. And then as well as that, we can add into that too, because now the problem is we have where, you know, you've got the hijab on, but then there's all the makeup and all that. So that's another thing. That's also showing your zina. Okay, so anything that is also, you know, making you attract, then that's going against. That's not covering your zina. All right? And then we move on. We speak about the third condition, which is we shouldn't be able to see, you know, the color of your hair and skin. Like, it shouldn't be so thin that you can see your skin color underneath. Or you can see your hair. Like, sometimes we've got to be careful because sometimes we might wear a hijab and then you go in the sun, you can completely see, you know, your hair, the color of your hair, everything. So you have to be careful with that. And then another thing, the fourth thing is it should be wide and not tight. So this is something the scholars all agree upon. Like, if you look at this, you know, the ulama, whether they're from the Maliki madhab or, you know, the Shafi'i madhab, the Hanbali, the Hanafi, they all agree that the hijab should be something which is wide and full. You never find any of the scholars saying that it's all right for me to wear a pair of jeans and a hijab. Okay? So we need to understand that tight clothes, even if they cover the color of your skin, but they're still showing the size and shape of you. And so if you can see the shape of you, then men can already get a very good understanding. And they have protect us, their imaginations. And, you know, and you can see there's a Sahih hadith, for example, when Usama bin Zayd, he talks about a story when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me a thick Egyptian garment that was given to him, and he said, I gave it to my wife. Like, I gave that gift to my wife to wear, like a garment. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why don't I ever see you wearing that Egyptian garment I gave you? And then he said, oh, I gave it to my wife to wear. And then he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told her, tell her to wear a gown underneath it, for I'm afraid it might describe the size of her bones, because it was too thin. So this is an example of how we need to be wary of not just wearing, you know, you can't wear tight clothes. It's showing the shape of your body. And again, it defies the purpose of hijab. And if we look at, you know, we have to beware that, you know, may Allah protect us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described those women who, you know, that they will come in the end of times. There'll be women who come in the end of times. And he said that these women, anisa'un kasi'atun ariyat, that these are women who they are dressed, but they're like naked. So even though, and they're from this ummah, that's the scary part. He wasn't talking about the non-Muslims. He's talking about from this ummah, that they're dressed, but it's like they're naked. And that when they walk, they walk with a swinging gait, you know, so maybe wearing high heels and, you know, and you see it. It's sad to say you see it. You see women, maybe they're wearing a little bit of cloth on their head. They've got high heels and you can see her bottom, like with the new hijabi fashions, like with the new, some of the abayas you get, they're actually cut to show her shape, and she's walking and you can see her bottom moving side to side. And you as a woman feel like, oh my God. And you're thinking, what about all the men who are looking at that? Allah mustan, you know, like what kind of hijab? All right, so, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these women, that's the scary part, he said that these women would not enter Jannah and they wouldn't even smell the scent of it. So it's a cause to be deprived from Jannah. Not, of course, not forever, because we know that whoever had an ounce of iman in their heart, an atom's worth of iman in their heart, will eventually enter Jannah. But the Prophet is warning us that this is a cause, may Allah protect us, that you know, Allah Ta'ala, if you didn't repent from it, then Allah Subhanahu Ta'ala could choose to, punish you in the next life, may Allah protect us. All right, so we have to be wary of that. The other thing too that's mentioned, there's some other conditions mentioned. For example, that the clothing shouldn't have traces of perfume, so that when men walk, you walk past men, you're alluring men by your perfume. So it's the same thing as makeup, all of these things. We have to be conscious of these things. And it shouldn't resemble like men's clothing. Like men and women have got, there's defining lines between the genders. Men should resemble men, women should resemble women. We don't start crossing those boundaries. And then that the way she wears her hijab shouldn't resemble like the disbelieving ladies as well. So that's some other things that the scholars mentioned. So these are things we have to keep in our minds if we want Allah Ta'ala to accept our hijab. Because as I said, we're doing it out of an act of ubudiyah to Allah Ta'ala. I'm going to just mention, because I want to, not everybody, we're all on different levels. We're all on different stages in our journey with hijab. So I'm going to just mention to you, what happened, myself, I was living at home with my non-Muslim family. So it was very difficult. Like, I read about the hijab and I was fully convinced and I wanted to wear it from all of my heart, subhanAllah. But obviously it's very difficult when you have all these obstacles around you. Like, you're worried about the reaction of your family. You're worried about the reaction of your co-workers at work. You're worried about your colleagues at uni. All of these things, you know, it's not easy to go against the tide. You're basically swimming against the tide. So it is a struggle. But because I had made up my mind, if you really, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. Whoever truly has that sincerity to want to do something for Allah, Allah will guide their heart and He'll make you able to do it. You'll be able to overcome, inshallah, the obstacles. So it got to the point where I couldn't live with myself anymore. I felt like to wear hijab for me was to embrace Islam completely and in the complete sense. All right, so I basically, I remember I wrote a letter to my parents and told them, I'm going to wear it. In the beginning, I said to myself, I'll just wear it on I'll wear it on like weekends and I'll wear it when I go to, uni, but I won't wear it. I wear it at home, but I won't wear it to work because I didn't know how it's going to be when I go to work, because we're talking about, how many years ago we're talking about here? We're talking about like something like 29 years ago. It was very different. There wasn't a lot of hijabis out there. So, you didn't feel very supported. Like when you look everywhere, you're really sticking out like a sore thumb if you wear hijab in those times. Okay, so as I said, so I started out writing that letter and I said, I'm going to just wear it on these occasions. But after a couple of days, I couldn't live with myself anymore. I go like, that's it. I have to do this completely. So I started going to work. I started wearing it like, so I'm showing like the front of my hair, and I started wearing it just like showing my neck but putting something putting something over my head. I went to work like that and I'm wearing like long sleeve clothes, wide pants. And then every day I slowly bring the hijab a little bit closer towards the front of my hair. And then like after a week, my boss is going like, I've noticed this new style. Is like, has he thought I was getting into this hippie style or something? Like, he thought I'm listening to some sort of like country music and that, And so like, alhamdulillah, by a week, I was actually feeling quite strong. So I said, no, actually I've become Muslim. All right. So I was able to say it by then because Allah made me strong to be able to say it. So then like, obviously once you got to that point, you've already identified yourself as a Muslim anyway. So all right, let's just bring the hijab forward and cover my neck. There's no point. Everybody knows I'm Muslim now. I look like a sore thumb anyway. So what difference does it make if I wear it properly? It doesn't make any difference. You might as well wear it properly. And that's kind of like one of my arguments against people who want to kind of do those compromises on the hijab, because at the end of the day, my dear sisters, however you wear the hijab, you're still identifying yourself as a Muslim. And if someone's going to be, if someone's going to direct, if they're going to show hatred towards you because of your hijab, they're going to do it whether you're wearing a beanie or you're wearing a proper hijab. So why not just wear the proper hijab that fulfills the conditions and get the full reward from Allah, than wear something that's a compromise that
Only Allah knows if you're actually going to get the reward for it. That's what I say to sisters. Because at the end of the day, they're still going to identify you as a Muslim anyway. So it doesn't, yani, it's not going to, yani, what you're doing is not helping. So let's look at some of the struggles that sisters go through when it comes to hijab. So one of them is, you know, there's a lot of internal struggles. There's a lot of internal struggles when it comes to wearing the hijab, obviously. Sometimes it's because, you know, a girl or a woman might feel that they wore it for the wrong reasons. You know, they might feel like, oh, like they start to doubt their intentions. They start thinking, oh, maybe I didn't do it for the right reasons. Maybe I only did it for my, you know, the guy that I was, you know, had some relation. You know, would you understand? I like this guy and I was, you know, whatever. They have these different ideas in their minds. Maybe their husband, they like their husband, so they put it on, whatever. But look, what I say to sisters is, what's important is why you wear it now. Don't worry about why you put on the beginning. Maybe you didn't have the 100% correct intention in the beginning, but what's important is why you wear it now. So have a look at that, you know? And the other thing is we have to realize that, you know, the hijab, it is something compulsory. It is an act of worship that's a compulsory act of worship. So that's why we need to try to, inshallah, overcome any feelings of insecurity in wearing it. Now, one of these insecurities is that, like, some people, they feel like they're a hypocrite. You know, that they're not good enough to wear the hijab. A lot of people think that. They think, I'm not good enough to wear the hijab. And a lot of sisters say to themselves, you know, I've done so many sins in my past. Who am I to now wear the hijab? I'm not good enough to wear it. Okay? So we have to understand, my dear sisters, it's not about being good enough. It's not about being good enough. You know, this is a command from Allah. So you're saying, Sami'na wa ata'na. I hear and I obey, Ya Allah. You're doing it and you're going to get rewarded for that, despite whatever personal sins you might have on the side, but you're going to get the reward for what you're doing, inshallah. And what you'll find is that the more you keep yourself patient on wearing the hijab and pushing yourself forward with it, you'll see how you're going to get stronger. So don't give into the whispers of shaitan, because he's always trying to pull you backwards. Like, you know that shaitan often, you know, with sisters who fall into a lot of sins, like they'll say, I'm not even good enough to pray anymore. So it's a similar thing. They say, I'm not good enough to pray. I'm not even worthy to stand in front of Allah. You know what I mean? So this is just shaitan trying to pull you further down. That's all it is. You've got to push against that. So my advice, my dear sisters, is don't look back. You know, realize that the more you give into your nafs and the more that you give into the whispering of the shaitan, the more control he gets over you and the harder it gets, right? But if you keep yourself patient and you don't give in, you keep striving against it, you'll find that the weaker the shaitan gets, it becomes easier. Like, I know how hard it was. The first few weeks of wearing hijab for me, extremely hard. Really, really hard. But after that, I got so used to it because I strove against my nafs and I strove against the shaitan. So, you overcome that whisper. And so then the shaitan will work on something else with you. You know, he won't, you know, because he knows that's no use anymore. Because khalas, you overcame that. You're strong now, alhamdulillah. So realize the shaitan's always going to try and sit in those paths of goodness. Whenever you're trying to do something good, the shaitan will always be there to try to pull you down. And so what happens is after a while you wear it and you don't even think about it anymore. I mean, alhamdulillah, now may Allah keep us steadfast. You know, myself, alhamdulillah, I've been wearing it. As I said, you know, it must be like 29 years or something I've been wearing it. You know, I didn't even think of it. It's something totally, you know, and I'm sure most of you here, it's the same thing. You don't even think of it anymore. It's not even a big deal whatsoever, you know. And in fact, you can't even imagine the pain if someone was to see you without hijab. Like, to you, that's the greatest humiliation, that you have to be, like, to be, you know, to be stripped of your hijab in any sense. Is a huge humiliation for you because you love it, you treasure it so much from your heart. So this is some of the ways that can help you to overcome your struggles. And I want to talk about some other things here as well, and that is that it's very, like, I understand that there are a lot of sisters out there, you know, maybe they have to go to work. They have to struggle in a workplace. Maybe it's homophobia, or they've got, you know, parents, or whatever the situation. And because what happens is when you're living in, if you have to deal in those environments, you can become quite self-conscious. you know, often become quite self-conscious. You feel like maybe you feel like people are staring at you. But one thing I would say here is if you're getting to the point where you feel like people are staring at you for your hijab, I really recommend that someone does two things. One of them is to work on your iman, work on strengthening your iman. Because honestly, if you really love something and you really love the hijab enough, you won't care about anyone. If you really love it, you're really convinced with the hijab, you won't care about anyone. And even seek knowledge on the hijab too, to also help you to become stronger with it. That's another thing. But besides that, a very important point is to work on your self-esteem. Work on your self-esteem, because one of the main reasons that, you know, what is one of the main reasons that you become self-conscious? That you start thinking everyone's looking at you or you don't feel good about yourself? It's because often you may already have a lack of confidence within yourself. You already have a lack of confidence within yourself. And because you have that lack of confidence, it makes you self-conscious. Right? You're more likely to notice people staring at you, or even you might be imagining they're staring at you. That's another thing. Like, they might not actually be staring at you, but you start to imagine they are staring at you, you know? But really, sisters, it's true that if you really feel confident in yourself and your reasons for why you're wearing the hijab, honestly, you will not care and you will not notice, you know, if anyone has any kind of negative reaction that's out there. Yeah, so when I was at uni and I was still trying, you know, I was still really wanting to put the hijab on but not really sure how I'm going to do it, what happened was, I think it was a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A guy came to uni with a punk hairstyle. It was green or something, you know, sticking up in the air. And I said to myself, this guy is proud to walk around in society looking like that. Shouldn't I be proud to wear my hijab and I'm doing it for Allah and the Akhirah? You know, that was one of the things that, you know, that was one of the things that said, that's it, I'm going to do this. You know, if he can do that, you know, why am I hesitating? SubhanAllah. So that's that, you know, that is something that to think of, you know, if you're really convinced and work on your self-confidence, like it might be your struggles come down to a lack of self-confidence. And that would mean that no matter what you do, you're gonna have that lack of self-confidence. You think people are staring at you, whether you're wearing hijab or not. So it's good to think about that. And besides that, my dear sisters, it's really important, obviously, to have that network of sisters around you who also wear the hijab, so you feel the hijab is normalized. Because if you're not trying to get yourself in environments where there are other sisters who are wearing the hijab and stuff like that, after a while you can start to feel really like an alien. You know what I mean? So that's why it does really help to come together to lessons, you know, be with your sisters that encourage you with your hijab, things like that all help. And besides that, you know, feeling comfortable with the style that you wear. Like, of course, look, we didn't say that you have to wear a particular style. We just said it should fulfill these conditions. So anything that comes under these conditions, you've got some freedom to choose your style, as long as it falls within those conditions. You can feel like, I know, like, I'm going to be really frank here. Like, I found that if I wear just the normal one that goes around my face, it makes me look like a pumpkin. You know, so I don't feel confident when I wear that style. So that's why I wear this style, right? But you might find this style looks, you know, you might not like this style. You understand, we all wear a different style that we feel looks better on our face and stuff like that. Not that I show my face anyway, but I'm just saying, in front of my sisters, I still don't like to look like a pumpkin. All right, so... think about, experiment with styles. Find the style that you feel good. Like, not, again, not feeling sexually attractive or anything, but you feel confident wearing that style. That's my advice. So finishing up, I want to remind ourselves, you know, remind all of us about the reward for, you know, don't be surprised if you'd go through some trials wearing hijab. Even as a practicing Muslimah in this time, you're going to go through trials. Allah's going to test us, but you should know that if someone laughs at you because of your hijab, if someone belittles you because of your hijab, you know, any type of trial that you have to go in wearing your hijab, I want you to keep this in your mind that, inshallah, this is a sign that you are upon true iman, inshallah. Because Allah says in Surah Mutaffifin, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. In general, the disbelievers would laugh at the believers. It's something normal that disbelievers are going to laugh at believers for the path they've taken in life. And so if that's what's happening to you, if you're being laughed at, if you're being belittled by others, even if they're Muslim, I want you to remember that this is a sign from Allah to you that you are, inshallah, from the people of Iman, people of true Iman. Always keep that in your mind. And always remember that, you know, as I said before, every time you walk out of your house, you are in a state of ibadah to Allah. You're in a state of worship to Allah until you come home. And Allahu alam, how great is your reward from 10 to 700 times. And I want to remind you as well of the righteous believing women who came before us. There was, and you probably know the story, there was a black lady, okay, from amongst the Sahabiyat, and she was suffering from epilepsy. And dear sisters, ask yourselves, what was the one thing? Because she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she asked him, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for me that I may be cured from my sickness. And he said, I can give you something better than that, that if you're patient with your sickness, that I guarantee you Jannah. And said, so she said, Ya Rasulullah, she said, I will be patient because she wants the Jannah. But she said, but Ya Rasulullah, just make dua that when I have my epileptic fit, I don't become uncovered. I don't become uncovered. So look at her dua. What was her dua? Not to get cured from her sickness. She would rather be patient with that trial and that sickness than she gets uncovered. Than she gets uncovered and she gets exposed. And even Aisha, look at the hayat of the Sahabiyat. Look at the hayat of the righteous women. She said, when I used to walk in my room, when she used to walk in her room, because as you know, the Prophet ﷺ was buried in her room. And then her father got buried. Abu Bakr got buried in her room. Okay, because the Messenger of Allah got buried where he died. He got buried where he died, and then Abu Bakr, of course, wants to be buried next to the Prophet ﷺ, his beloved friend. Okay? He said, so when I used to walk in my room normal, I walk in my room, I take off my garments. But she said, but when Omar got buried in there, she said, I used to go in, and because of my thinking of Omar, I used to draw my garments around myself. Like she felt too shy, and he subhanAllah, he's passed away. But just knowing he was there, it's Omar, she felt shy. And this is, she's shy from, subhanAllah, she's shy from a dead person. And women now are not even shy from alive. So we've got to understand, my dear sisters, this is the haya of the women of Jannah. This is the shyness, the modesty of the women of Al-Jannah. And so that's why, you know, we ask Allah Ta'ala to help us to have true ubudiyah to Allah. I ask Allah Ta'ala to fill our hearts with true ubudiyah to Allah Ta'ala, to true servitude to Allah. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to help us ourselves to express our ubudiyah to Allah in our actions, in our dressing, in our manners. And, you know, and I ask Allah Ta'ala to make us from those who will follow the righteous believing women into Jannah and be, you know, raised up with them on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a person will be with whom they love. So I ask Allah that due to our struggling with our hijab and struggling to please Allah through our hijab, I ask Allah Ta'ala to make us from those who will be raised with Ummul Hatim Mu'mineen, like with the wives of the Prophet and the Sahabiyat and all the righteous women who, you know, were in that state of ubudiyah to Allah Ta'ala, both inwardly and outwardly. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us all in Jannah al-Firdaws al-A'la. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.